This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 77. This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Tapad from Australia. Coming up on the show, Gary Palmer makes you a better batsman. The summer of cricket starts for David, and we get a few coaching tips straight from the army. David, you had your first game over the weekend, but it was a friendly, but it would have been interesting to see how your team gelled together. How did you guys go, David?
Yeah, a little pre-season warm-up. Always nice to get started and get out in the sunshine. We had another beautiful day, which is a good help. And we played against a local team who had won promotion last year to the top division in our area, which is the Premier League, which is sort of the league underneath the first-class level, if you like. And so obviously they were hoping to put in a good performance against us, and indeed they did. We played a 40-over match with field restrictions because our league this year has introduced fielding restrictions. Much against my, I voted against that, but my voice was outnumbered, and we got a bit of a pasting because we only had two bowlers, unfortunately. So two frontline bowlers, if you like. They bowled all right. One of them, unfortunately, bowled 12 overs for, hold your breath for this one, 97 runs. That's got to hurt.
That would have been demoralising.
First game, imagine that, first game of the season. Thing was, it was a short boundary on one side. He wasn't bowling that great, but he just had to stay on because, you know, we only used four bowlers, and two of those were part-time bowlers who did an okay job. But because we had to bring the original, the only two bowlers we had back at the end, and he just got a pasting. He went for 20 in one over, so he just kept getting just kept dropping it short and getting popped over the short boundary. So they got 209 in the end, which was a decent score. We probably 20 more than they should have got, and we started all right, but we lost wickets in the middle section. Slowed down too much at the end, and then it was a little bit too much at the end. So by the time we were in the last sort of seven or eight overs, we probably needed more than seven and over to win it. And of course the tail were in, and they had their two very good spinners on. We didn't really get near it, and to be fair, we didn't try and go for it in the end because it was, you know, getting out of hand. The captain just said, look, just have some batting practice. Don't give your wicket away. Just play normally and just have some time in the middle. So that's what we did. You know, it was a good run out, and it's good to be out in the sunshine and playing cricket again. And, you know, we were standing in the slips at the beginning and everyone's saying, oh, this is what it's all about, isn't it? We're back. We're back again for another summer. So, yeah, but very enjoyable. What, did we learn anything from it? No, I think it's probably just a run out.
Well, that's what a friendly really is about, isn't it, David? Especially before the season, just to sort of get your body tuned up, get some match fitness and practice, if you like. So even if you sort of didn't win or if you didn't learn anything, it's just about getting your body tuned into the sort of spirit of cricket or into playing an actual match, where it's a lot different than going to the nets. But how did you personally go, David?
Yeah, I did fine. I kept very tidily. There was a couple of leg side balls which I missed out on, but you know it's not a disaster at this time of the season. I stood up to every bowler, including our quickest bowler. Only for one over, I stood up to him. The chap who was feeling it slip at the time said, "Is it strictly necessary for you to stand up to this bloke?" And I was like, "Well, no, but I mean, we're just having a practice, aren't we?" So, and of course, what happened the first three balls of the over was he bowled two long hops in a short of a length delivery, and he got hit for two fours. And then he said, "Oh, you're putting me off standing up." So he blamed me for getting for dropping it short. I don't know. I don't quite know how that works. But then again, I'm not a bowler, so I don't know. And what I put that down to is that I'm not sure if I told you this, but I had a practice session on the bowling machine, standing back on the bowling machine. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah. No, you haven't.
Oh,
you haven't told us.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I went to the indoor nets in the winter not that long ago, and had a practice session with the bowling machine. We pulled the bowling machine back, moved the stumps forward. The coach was firing bowling machine balls at me at 70 something miles an hour, and at that pace on a hard indoor wicket, it really flies through. Of course, when you get out into a typical April English season wicket against a typical English Seamus, probably 5 to 10 miles an hour slower than the bowling machine was, then it feels easy. It feels like, well, this is nothing. I could do this all day. It was really smooth and everything looked good. And the other guy who was playing, who's also a wicketkeeper, but he didn't keep in that game, he batted. He said, you look really good. You look really smooth and everything looked really easy for you. So obviously that practice works. And then I batted at 8 and I took great pleasure in hitting one of their left arm spinners who has played first class cricket over the top twice. So he had to put the man back on the fence. Two lovely lofted drives over mid off. And then he was forced to put the man back on the fence then. So I was very pleased with that. And then unfortunately I got out. I mistimed one and hit one straight up in the air towards the end. But it felt good to put bat on ball.
Yeah.
So now
and that's all that's important, isn't it?
Exactly. And now because I'm captain, I'm going to open the batting and wicket.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll do that. That might be a bit much.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing about it, David. Okay, we have Gary Palmer again with us to answer a batting question this week. Gary was a first-class cricketer who played for Somerset and he now helps younger players in the game with CCM Academy. So if you want to find out more, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Let's have a listen to chat Gary had with David this week.
This question is from a batsman who has just started playing a shorter format, 2020 style. He's decided that he needs to hit a few more sixes. Trouble is, he tends to try and hit the ball too hard when he's going to clear the rope, and he loses his shape.
Yeah.
His head goes up, and he swings wildly across the line. What can he do to improve that situation?
Again, what he has to do is he's in a pressure situation. Sounds like he's panicking. When people panic, they generally try to smack the ball out of the park. When you try and do that, you do lose your shape and things go wrong. So I would say if he's trying to play the ball straight back down the ground, his bat speed is probably too quick. He needs to think about picking the bat up over off stump, stroking the ball, lifting the ball. And if you think one bounce 4, it'll probably go for 6. It's when you're trying to hit it 3 or 4 rows back in the top stand that it all goes wrong. There's a compromise between hitting the ball too hard and technique. And you'll find that the players that let the ball come relax, swing at a nice tempo, a rhythmical swing, you know, everyone has their own rhythm. That's the speed that you swing the bat that allows you as an individual to maintain your shape. So, you know, you need to try and relax, let the bat flow so you can keep your elbow high after you've hit the ball. But if you try and swing the bat too fast, what tends to happen, the bottom hand comes in too early and the bat face closes. You don't present the bat face at the line of the ball for as long as possible, giving you the best chance to hit 6. And generally, it only goes one place, which is on the leg side, and you will miss it a few. You will get bowled. You will get out. The only time you should be swinging your bat fast with a dominant bottom hand is if the ball's short and wide outside off stump where you're going to look to cut it, or if you're taking it off your nose, you don't want to be swinging the bat slowly because you'll probably wear the ball. So if it's at your nose and you're looking to hook, you want to, yes, swing the bat fast, bottom hand, natural shot, hook it. But if it's going to go out the ground straight, you must have a nice tempo of swing. You must maintain shape for as long as you can. Of course, you're going to collapse it a little bit sometimes when the ball's a little bit shorter than you would like to hit straight. But the more you can hang on to your shape and hit a relaxed but controlled shot, the more chance you've got of hitting the ball out the ground consistently. But the other thing about trying to hit the ball too hard is you tend to close your front shoulder, which again makes you hit round the front pad, and it takes hitting in the V out of the equation, which is the best place to hit it. So the slower swing and the head going at the ball, a controlled shot will keep your shoulder just leg side of your, you know, just leg side of yourself rather than right under your chin. And it's much easier to play the ball down the ground with a full blade.
Thanks, Gary, for your time. If you want to find out more about Gary Palmer and his coaching, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Well, we got a couple of questions this week, David, and we have a special guest to help us out, so let's get straight into it. Welcome to the questions section this week, and this week we have Pat Legg to help us out with the questions. Now, Pat Legg was a senior coach at Devizes Cricket Club in England, and he's currently in the Army. He also does a bit of cricket coaching in the Army. And if you've been a long-time listener to the show, you would remember Pat from about 2007. So let's welcome Pat. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hi, Cammy. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, Pat, our first question for today is from Laksh, and he says, my name is Laksh and I'm 15 years old. I live in New Zealand and play school first 11 cricket and under-18 premiers. Recently, I started facing some quick bowling up to 120 to 125 kilometres an hour. I developed a fear of injury when they bowl short, and so I haven't been confident to play the hook or pull shots. My question is, how can I overcome my fear of injury? Well, Pat, I'm going to let you take this one first, and David, if you can butt in later on.
Okay, Kevin, yeah. I think really my advice is for him to start with somebody, a coach or one of his friends, feeding him tennis balls into the areas where the ball will go, sort of towards his chest and head. And he can start in sort of like the completed shot position, so he's getting the confidence of hitting the ball there. And then just simply advancing this on with somebody feeding him with a tennis racket, hitting the balls and gaining pace, still using the softballs, tennis balls, working his confidence and the technique of the shots. But with this, he's got to wear his complete kit, including his helmet, because the tennis balls are coming at you with a tennis racket can start to sting a little bit. So working all the shots up until he's really confident enough to play it with softballs and happy. From there, he can go back to the initial drill with somebody feeding him from a close position with hard balls, and then building this up with a stronger throw until he's ready to try and work this on a bowling machine or eventually in front of the bowlers in a net situation.
It's really about technique. If you've got the confidence comes from having a good technique. If you know you've got a good technique, then you're not going to be as scared of the bowling, because you know you can put bat on ball even when it's flying down and even when it's going around your ears. You know that you can put bat on ball. And the first part of that is to not worry about the hook or the pull shot, but to really work on being able to A, defend the ball, B, get out of the way of the short ball if you need to, and C, be able to punch the ball off the back foot through mid on or mid off. What would you say if someone is, if someone maybe they haven't got a coach and they're not quite sure what they're looking for when it comes to the technique of playing defensively on the back foot? What would you say the key things to look for are?
Getting in line with the ball, watching the ball all the way onto the bat, or watching the ball past you, however you decide whether you're going to play the shot or leave the ball. Probably a nice high elbow is always good with a back foot shot. Getting into that good position and rising with the ball to get everything behind it, rather than any sort of, if we're defensive, none of this cross bat sort of stuff yet. You're really trying to get everything behind it, your head and bat, body in line with the ball. It's probably the easiest way of starting, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say also a nice high back lift. If you're talking about playing short bowling, you want a high back lift and you want a straight back lift, as you say. If your bat's coming from behind you or coming from too far over to the offside from gully or somewhere like that, then you're probably, well, you're making it harder for yourself because you're not playing with the full face of the bat, especially if the bat's coming from behind you. If your back lift is going up over the middle stump or leg stump, then you're risking a short ball at your body, you can't get to it. So, you know, no wonder you're going to be scared, because it's going to be hitting you all the time. So, a high and straight back lift, over off stump, are really important. The other thing I would look at, as a coach certainly, would be the angle of the foot in comparison to the crease? Because if you're playing the ball through the offside, it's a ball on or outside off stump, you probably want to have your foot parallel to the crease so you can get in a nice sideways on position. From that position, you can play the ball through quite a wide area between, well, very straight right through to extra cover. If you, if the bowler is bowling, you know, maybe he's going around the wicket to you and he's sort of aiming a bit more towards your body, aiming a little bit straighter, then I would say you want a bit more of an open position. So your foot position would move towards, pointing towards extra cover. So you, then you're more open and then you can play the ball again straight, but you can also play it through mid on, or if it's the right sort of bowling, you can even just slightly close the face and flick it through mid wicket.
Yeah. And I think playing the ball as close to your body as possible as well, the sort of feeling out for the ball, let the ball come to you and get everything behind it. It's and be confident. I think confidence in this game is one of the major things. You've got to be confident in what you're doing.
All right, guys. Our next question is from Karthik, and he says, "I'm a right-arm bowler, and I don't really swing the ball much. If anything, I get a little bit of in-swing, but my stock ball is actually the off-cutter. I'm usually quite accurate, but bowl the occasional wide. I've now been playing men's cricket for a year and a half. I now usually open the bowling, and the wickets in Singapore are usually quite slow, low, and suited to spinners. We don't have many turf wickets, but even the artificial wickets we play on are quite true. Batsmen tend to find it hard to cover gaps between the bat and body, as at times my balls cut quite sharply. Recently, I've also started to get a fair amount of bounce. This season, I've been struggling to even get one wicket in a match. My economy rate rarely exceeds 5 and over. I have some good coaches here, but they don't seem to be able to give me any information out of the ordinary. So, guys, what do you reckon?
I think you've got to keep bowling the good line. It's hard work for a seamer bowling on a spinner's wicket. You've got to put that extra bit of effort in on the mental side as well as the physical side. And the only real thing that he could possibly do is think about his field placing, just to add a bit more pressure onto the batsman to make them force a mistake. But I think by the sounds of it, he's doing well at that age playing his men's cricket. And if he keeps doing as he is, the wickets will come. It happens to all of us every now and then. We have a barren run, but we don't go for many runs, and we think the world's going to end because we're not taking wickets. Mm-hmm. But it's everything will slot into place.
Yeah, a lot of time it's just a bad run of luck for whatever reason. You know, if you might go 2, 3, even 4 games barely getting a wicket but bowling quite well. Sometimes it happens. The question is it just a bad run of luck, or is there something going on there? Does the batsman know that you're going to give him a couple of four balls and over, in which case they've got the confidence to just wait for you to bowl a bad ball? It doesn't sound like he's bowling that badly from what he says. Obviously we can't see, so it's hard to say, but there is, I would say, the biggest priority is target practice. Make sure that you are bowling 5 or 6 good balls every over, because if you do that, the wickets are going to come no matter how bad your luck is. Because if you're bowling maiden after maiden, or you know they're only getting 1 or 2 an over from you, then batsmen are going to try and go after you. And when they go after you, you're going to get wickets, especially if you're bowling at the stumps. So it's a tricky one without seeing what he's doing there, really.
Yeah. I mean, it would be good to see a little bit of what he's up to. And I suppose it's down to the tactical side of the game as well. What does his captain want? He's still being picked without taking wickets. Bowlers work in partnerships. Is the guy at the other end picking up 4 or 5 wickets a game? So it's the two of them working together could be knocking over the top order. If we had a little bit more from Karthik, we might be able to sort of put a bit more flesh on the bones. But I think he's doing well to keep to sort of less than 5 and over.
And it's not all about bowling the magic ball, is it? How many magic balls do you bowl in a season? You know, let alone in an over. You know, the one that does cut back in and go through the gate. You know, maybe 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to do that all the time, sometimes you just end up bowling 4 or 5 bad balls. So It's a little bit of an old-fashioned thing to say, but there's nothing wrong with putting a ball on the length.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Our next question is from Tom, and he says, I've been out of cricket due to my fitness, and I've been working hard to achieve that goal. My goal this year is to score at least 200s. Also, I've been practicing cricket here and there, but not consistently. And starting from April, I'll be practicing hard to score a few hundreds. So my question is, what kind of drills should I do in practice sessions in order to get back in form and work on scoring hundreds? So what do you reckon, guys?
I think really Tom needs to keep it simple, as he's been out of cricket for a while with fitness and injury problems. I'd work on his stance, little movement, keep his head still as possible, and really try, as many do, not to hit the lever off the ball early season. Watching the ball all the way onto the bat is the most simple of things to tell a player to do, but it just seems quite hard for them to actually complete it. Play risk-free shots along the ground. If you're not hitting the ball in the air, you're not going to get caught out. So you're going to bat for longer. And just get himself in without taking risks. And I think he's got to do this when he's practicing, almost visualise himself in a game situation that he doesn't want to get out. And he doesn't need to be smacking the ball all over the net session to sort of show the guys, yeah, I'm back, I'm the big hitter. Cricket is a very simple game. If you keep it nice and simple and hit the ball on the ground without taking risks, you're going to score more runs and stay in. It is a very simple game that is made difficult by quite a lot of coaches that wish to elevate themselves into something that they're not. So I think simplicity is the main aim, really. I'd also get some fitness training done, some interval training, sprinting between lampposts, and some easy bodyweight exercises, just to make sure his fitness, it's all right working, putting 100% into the cricket practice in the nets, but if you're not fit enough to maintain 20 minutes in the nets, you're not going to be fit enough to maintain 20 minutes on the pitch. So working on a bit of fitness as well, and lots of stretching before and after the game, especially as he's coming back from any injuries. It would be a shame for him to put a lot of practice in and a lot of fitness training for him to play his first game to be injured again and be sat on the sidelines. So it's really injury prevention through a bit of fitness and a bit of stretching should help him out as well.
I'd add a couple of things to that. I would add that a question really would be why is the goal to score 200? That's putting a lot of pressure on yourself if you've been out of cricket. I mean, presumably he's been out of it for at least a season, just from when he sent the email, you know, because he's saying, I'm starting again, you know, at the start of the season and all that. So why is he putting so much pressure on himself to score 200s on his first season back? I would say my goal would be to get one run. And then when you get to one, try and get to two.
yeah, it's goal setting can be very confusing. You sort of do it myself when I coach guys, what are your goals for the season? And they say, oh, I want to score 350s and take 20 wickets. And I say, well, what about your smaller goals? And you get the blank face of, what do you mean smaller goals? As well, do you want to get through the first two overs? Do you want to get to five runs, get to 10 runs in a game? Have your smaller goals that build up to your bigger goal. And I suppose it's simplifying it really. If you've got if you get to five runs in an innings, you've achieved part of your goal. So instead of just going for that one big complete one end state, trying to score 100, and when it doesn't happen, it can be quite frustrating and disappointing when you don't get to where you want to be.
Yeah, and the other thing with goals like saying I'm going to score 100 is you can't always control that. You know, if you get an absolute jaffer first up, you're not going to score 100. You're going to be back in the pavilion, and there's nothing you could have done about it. There's nothing Kevin Peterson could have done about it if you get an unplayable delivery. So I do think I used to say don't set any kind of run or wicket targets at all. I've kind of gone back on that because I mean, it helps people to have those things in mind, but also know that those shouldn't be the be all and the end all. you really focus, when you're talking about goals, you should really focus on the things you've got total control over. How many times are you practicing in a week? You know, you've got control over that. You know, if you say, all right, I'm going to turn up to practice every week or twice a week or however many times your club practices, then if you practice, you're going to get better. If you say to yourself, right, I'm going to go to the gym twice a week, then you're going to get fitter. If you can set yourself goals which are more within your control,
yeah,
that's going to make a difference to the outcome of the runs and wickets.
Do
have those, but also set goals that are completely within your control as well.
I like players that I coach to have a cricket Bible, simple notebook in their bag, and they make notes on their season, their training, their fitness. So they're almost like a bit of a cricket diary rather than a Bible, really. But it's how they've performed in the nets. And I think self-reflection and this new way of getting players that you're coaching to how do they feel about this and that, instead of the old style of coaching, of telling people what to do and what they need to do. I think it all helps out when you've got something written down, and even when you turn up on a green wicket and think, oh, I remember this place, and I remember getting out, feeling for the ball outside the off stump. I remember I've got to get in line this time. I must, a green wicket is going to seam around a little bit. I've got to concentrate more. And it's a constant reminder of failings, but also of the good things as well when you've done well. Put those in there, and it's also a good bit of preparation before you start the game, just to have a quick look through your book and remind yourself of your goals, the long-term goals, your short-term goals, and why you want to get there and what you've done, how well you've done in your training. Just puts you on a good stand already, I think. If you've had a good net the week before your game on a Saturday, it just reminds you, hey, I did this really well in the nets. I must remember that. And no more slogging across the line because I was terrible at that. It sort of backs up any goals, I think.
Exactly. I wouldn't worry too much about working on technique. I'd probably more think about work within the technique that you've got and work out a way of playing that's going to get you runs, whatever that is. It may be that you're limited in the number of shots you've got, probably, and most club players are. It may be that you've got certain technical weaknesses that bowlers will be able to exploit. But if you know about them and you've worked out a method of scoring that works for you, then, again, you're going to be confident, and you're going to go out confident knowing that you're going to be able to score runs. So that would be the last thing that I'd say as well.
Definitely.
All right, our lucky last question is from Matt, and he says, I'm a 17-year-old leg spinner. I'm getting more and more frustrated as I've been bowling leg spin for around 5 years, and one week I'll bowl every ball in the same perfect spot and be virtually unplayable, but the next week my bowling will be all over the place. I was just wondering if there was any training drills or ways I could improve my accuracy other than the old cliche that practice makes perfect, because after 5 years of bowling all year round, it clearly doesn't. Pat, what do you reckon?
I think there's a little bit of a mental approach going on with Matt. It sounds as if he's allowing mistakes to affect his bowling. And when a lot of times when you get something wrong in cricket, you start questioning yourself and you start throwing yourself into all your coaching manuals and all the websites and seeing how things can be done. I think he's just got to bowl with a bit more freedom and let his action do the work, because he sounds very inconsistent at the moment, and it's probably a mental side. I would use some target bowling drills before a game, before training, just to get his mind working correctly and fully prepared for the game. Even just placing a sort of 9 or 12 cones in a squared area on a length he wants to, and a line that he wants to hit in the match or in training, and then just go through the drill of just being relaxed. And if he makes a mistake, at that time, it doesn't really matter, because he's preparing himself for the match. And the better you prepare for a game, the better you'll be in a match, really, I think.
Certainly, in terms of the action on that side of things, I would probably want to look to see if he's got a repeatable action or not.
Yeah.
Because it is, I think, probably more... I mean, it's important for all bowlers, but I think it's even more important for a leg spinner to have a repeatable action. And what I mean by that is an action that is the same the first ball of the day of your spell than it is the last ball of your last spell of the day. So you don't change your action. And yeah, with a leg spin, there's always going to be that variation because, you know, up until Shane Warne, everyone accepted that the leg spinner would bowl a couple of bad balls and over. That's just the way it was. And then Shane Warne came along and changed everything and made everybody think that leg spinners could be accurate as well as giving the ball a big rip. But that just isn't the case for normal human beings. So have a look at your action. The two things, without seeing you, obviously we can't say, you know, you could have a horrible action, it's all over the place. But the two things I would probably look at initially is what your head's doing. Are you driving your head towards the target? Is all your momentum going towards the target, or are you falling away? What's your head doing? And what are your feet doing? Are you getting your feet into the right position and into the same position every time? So you can do that nice getting over the front leg to give the ball to get a pivot and to give the ball a nice big rip out of the back of the hand.
A lot of walkthrough drills, there's not enough done with bowlers without the ball at a slower pace, cut down, without anything to bowl at, without any distractions, just you and your action, just in a confined area, just going through over and over and over again, and it's almost on the 10,000 repetitions thing. If you keep doing it and doing it, your body just gets used to doing it, and it's muscle memory, and then start introducing a ball, introducing stumps, introducing a batsman to get that consistency and repeatable action. You're quite right.
Well, that's all our questions for today. Thanks a lot for your time, Pat. Once again, we have our Pitch Vision competition that gives out a course for the best question or comment for the week, and David and myself decided earlier on, and we think Karthik had the most original question, you might say, and Karthik gets the course of his choice from Pitch Vision Academy, and it's really easy, isn't it, David? All you have to do is send in your question or comment for the week with podcast competition in the title, and you have to send that in to mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. It's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. So hop onto your computers and send in your questions, and who knows, you might win yourself a course. You can get more information, tips, advice, and tricks on our website at www.pitchvision.com. The site is updated daily and includes forums to chat with other cricketers around the world. You can also subscribe to the Pitch Vision Academy show for free on iTunes, or you can click the link on the show's page that will take you directly to iTunes to subscribe. So if you want to get in touch with us or have any questions, you can email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thanks for your time, guys. Thanks for your time, Pat. And we hope to see you next time. So from Sydney, Australia, this is Kevin Sampat signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.